This podcast is part of the Christian Geek Central Network at ChristianGeekCentral.com.
Strangers and Aliens, Episode 89, Interview with Mike Perna, Game Store Prophet.
Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend's plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God? The very first thing that God did,
so wise you are,
was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
So, welcome to the Strangers and Aliens Podcast, and this is an interview podcast, so Steve and Dr. Jace are not here. You're stuck with me, but fortunately I brought in a guest who's going to make it worth your time. I'm Ben Avery, and I have been joined by a friend from the Game Store Prophets Podcast. If this was a live studio audience, I'd say, please welcome Mike Perna.
And naturally, this is the part where the live studio audience would applaud, because that's just the way this works.
Right, because there's a guy standing in front of them with a sign that says, applaud.
I got to say, it's not really fair. I mean, you get to be here, and this is you and your thing, but I'm supposed to represent two other people? I mean, come on, this is hardly fair.
Well, you know, technically speaking, you're representing three if you want to add in Luke from your podcast.
If we bring in Luke, yeah, I'm representing two from us from the one plus two plus two.
You're at four. You're at four.
Oh, geez. Okay. We'll make it work.
Yeah,
hi, guys.
I think it'll turn out okay. So, yeah, so the Game Store Prophets is a podcast that I've been listening to for a little while. Not since the beginning of when they started, but someone, I believe it was Hank Harwell, who turned me on to them.
Hank has brought all of us together, I swear. We're all connected through Hank.
Because you did an interview with Geek Preacher, Derek White. And so Hank, that's how Hank found you, I think. And he said, check these guys out. I did. And I've been listening to you guys ever since.
Yeah, so. Bar none. That's been one of my favorite episodes, is the episode where we interviewed Derek. That was a ton of fun. And through that, we've made a ton of connections both in and out of the community. And it's been really cool. And it was great because I got to hang with him at Gen Con. He let me sleep on his floor. So that's always a good thing.
In his hotel room?
Yeah.
Okay. I went to a convention once where there was a hotel room that had, I think, 15 people crashing it. It was quite the sight.
That's impressive.
I wasn't staying there, but...
Yeah, I've never gotten up to that kind of a level. I think about 7 or 8 is the highest I've gotten up to.
So why don't we tell our audience, if you're not familiar, if our audience is not familiar with you, why don't you tell us about what the Game Store Prophets podcast is, what you touch on, and kind of what your corner of the geek world is over there at Game Store Prophets.
Absolutely. It's been kind of fun because we've kind of seen, like, we've been doing the podcast now for about 2.5 years now. And we've kind of seen an evolution of the show, because we started out just being shotgun geek, because, like, pretty much most of us who hit the airwaves trying to be Christians and geeks, we all thought we were the only ones doing it. And then, you know, all of a sudden we've become part of this huge community, and I'm super thankful for that. So we kind of had to narrow it down from just generic geek, and we tried to figure out what our niche was. And it pretty much came down to board games, card games, tabletop games, all the stuff that we've find ourselves being very passionate about, the kind of stuff that we spend our weekends doing, and just the things that bring us to the table. And now we still talk about lots of other stuff. We talk about a little close to home with video games, but we also talk about several other things. We've had episodes about Doctor Who. We had an episode about The Hitchhiker's Guide. We had... You know, you name it in the geek world, we've probably touched on it. But mostly we're talking about games.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite episodes recently was when you were doing, you were kind of going through the summer movies.
where we had the most apathetic response to all of them.
It's like, so have you seen this one? No, not interested.
I don't want to.
I don't really care about that one.
And what about this? No, not so much.
Pacific Rim. Yeah.
I'd love to, but I didn't get to see it. So basically, we broke down the summer movies to a whole bunch of apathy and one that we really wanted to see, but neither one of us got. No, I think Luke did see it.
I'm pretty sure he saw Pacific Rim, yeah.
Yeah, Luke got to see it, and I got to be jealous because I never got a chance to see it.
Yeah, meanwhile, we're like doing full episodes just nitpicking the minutiae of all of these movies, and we're like,
you could do a full episode on Idris Elba's awesomeness. So
just his left eye, I think.
Yeah. Between him and Ron Perlman.
Okay, if you want to talk Pacific Rim, there is too much awesome in that movie to really you're gonna get lost down that trail.
Oh, I'm very excited that it's coming out. I think what, 2 weeks from when we're recording this is when Pacific Rim comes out on DVD, yeah. And I will be buying it.
Yeah, it's and I think it's sad that you missed it on the big screen.
Oh, it's giant robots fighting giant monsters. Of course it's upsetting that I didn't get to see it on the big screen.
You know, your convention story, though, and your podcast story, you're talking about, you know, you thought you were the only one. The first convention I ever went to, I went to a table, and there was a guy who was selling Christian comic books, and he had buttons that said, I thought I was the only one.
Yep.
And it is nice to kind of get these communities together and expand these communities. What with Game Store Profits, what have you seen as far as building kind of your corner of your community there? I know you're doing a big project right now that
Project Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll reveal that by the time this episode goes live, but
no, it won't be. It'll be soon, but it still won't be by the time this goes up. We have been sadly teasing our audience so much with Project Awesome. I'll give you a hint. We'll do a little cross promotion here. I'll tell our people to listen to hear the hints about Project Awesome. What basically happened with this was that Luke and I had been doing the podcast for, it wasn't quite 2 years at this point, but it was right around the 2 year mark. And, for those of you who don't know, I live in New Jersey on the East Coast. Luke is out in California on the West Coast. So he and I don't really talk a lot other than through emails and when we're recording the podcast, just because being on opposite sides of the country has time differences and he has the kids and it just gets really, really hectic. So without having talked with each other, both of us on opposite ends of the country said, you know, I really think that Game Store Profits is building a community. It's speaking to people. We're getting all these emails. We're getting all these people responding to the show. I really think that God wants to do something awesome with this, and I think we should expand this. And Luke texted me and pretty much said that, and I responded with, I've been thinking the same thing. So Project Awesome is it's going to be a hub for a lot of that. It's going to be about garnering fellowship amongst geek Christians, because so many of us think that we're the only ones, mostly because there isn't anything out there. It's growing. There's more stuff out there now, but it's that way to connect people. And we really want to also equip churches to kind of do outreach within the geek community, not to just phone it in and be like, yeah, or, you know, this is a thing. Random video game reference. Like, we don't, but to really make solid progress into the geek community and to treat it like the subculture that it is. And we want to help people kind of get together on that.
Yeah. I mean, would you think it's fair to say that for a lot of people in their local communities, they are the only one?
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's definitely fair to say, or if at the very least they feel like they're the only one.
And that's one thing with, I can't imagine not having this technology. And, you know, for me with comic books, it was the email groups years ago where I found, oh, there's one called Christian Comics. And I'll join. Sign me up. And I made a lot of contacts. And it was a joy. It really, really was. And now with podcasting and stuff like that, it becomes a, it takes it to a whole nother level and forums and that kind of thing.
It was great when we when I went out to Gen Con. I was pretty much the, it happened very last minute, so there wasn't a whole lot of prep time for this. But just a series of fortunate events let me go out there. So I treated it kind of as I'm the emissary of Game Store Profits. I'm the scout party, as it were, trying to see if this is something that we definitely wanted to do. And the answer was, oh, heck yes. We were already planning what we want to do for next year's.
Yeah. I was mad because I live in Indiana.
Really?
Yeah. And I was just, oh, man. He's there, but I can't.
Like I said, it was all very last minute. Next year, there will be plans. I'm already I'm trying hard to recruit minions to come with me. Because one thing I discovered was it's impossible to cover everything. And so I need to bring with me minions. Go find the game over here and go gather that interview for me. And I, you know, you sit in the booth so I can do these things.
Yeah.
So I want to recruit minions, but going to Gen Con was really awesome because it really showed me that there is this growing community and that we want to be a part of. And I got connected with Dave Mattingly over at Blackworm Publishing and the Geek Preacher. And, you know, I was sitting at the Game Church booth for a while and just so many guys who I'd been talking to online who now I can say a face-to-face. I've seen face to face, and now I've kind of made those connections. It's really cool.
All right, so we talked a little bit about the future with Project Awesome. Let's kind of take a trip into the past, then, Doctor Who style, and tell me about how Game Store Profits came about. Then, what you're hosting it with Luke, but yes. You're on like opposite ends of the nation.
Luke and I, oddly enough, went to the same seminary roughly at the same time. Yet, while we were there, we didn't really hang out much. It was one of those things like we never really connected or anything because it was a big school. So we both went and did our thing. He and I both served in churches. He was a church planter. I was a youth pastor. And at some point, he and a mutual friend of ours named Kevin McGill – he created a podcast called Guys Can Read. And it was basically a podcast where they would just talk about books from a guy's perspective. Because the running joke is that guys don't read. That, you know, it's a horrible stereotype. And they wanted to squish it like the bug that it is. So they created a podcast. And at some point they wanted to start talking about the steampunk genre. Well, at the time, I was writing a bit of steampunk fiction in blog form, and I was going to conventions for steampunk. I was doing a bunch of stuff, and while I'm hardly an expert in any regard, as far as these guys knew, I was, because I actually did stuff. So they actually brought me on as a guest host for a couple of the episodes. And probably after like the second or third episode, Luke realized that I was a tremendous nerd. And he revealed that he too was a tremendous nerd. And he's the one who suggested, hey, we should probably do something with that. And at the time I was so swamped and I was so busy and I said, there's no way I can pull this off. I can't do it. Well, not long after that, I went to one of the aforementioned steampunk conventions, and I was there and I met a friend of a friend who had read my blog and she thought it was great and we were talking, and it was right around the time when the gentleman was on the radio saying that the rapture was going to happen that weekend.
Yes. Okay.
It was right around that time. And so everybody at the con who – it's not exactly a very Christ-friendly scenario. Like I don't know anybody who is super against what I was up to, but it's not exactly a really friendly atmosphere. So everybody's, you know, making fun, you know, oh, stupid Christian, da, 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 da. And I'm like, I'm letting it go because I've been around these people for years now and I've – you know, I let it roll off my back, and I have my friends there who, even the ones that aren't Christians, are like, yeah, we know you're not like that. It's okay. So I'm just letting it go. But this woman, it was striking her that so many people were making these comments, and she, you know, in tears comes up to me because she knew that I was a youth pastor, and we ended up praying in the parking lot. And she revealed to me, she goes, you know, when I'm at events like this, I feel so isolated and alone because I'm a Christian and it seems like no one else is. Yet when I go to my church, I feel like I'm the outsider. I'm isolated and alone because I like this stuff. I like comic books and dressing up in costume and all this stuff. And so I don't feel like they get me there either. So I just always feel alone. Well, that night I went home and I called Luke up and I said, all right, we're setting up a website. We need to make this happen now. So
now, does she know this story? Does she know that she's a part of your story like that?
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's really been cool. She actually she's done some good stuff on, she has a blog of her own, which sadly she has kind of had to put aside for a while, but no, she was super happy that she got to be a part of that, and we still talk all the time about what's going on and everything like that. She's actually expecting a little baby not that long from now, so it's a good time.
Nice, very good. Okay, so you started this podcast, and you know all of our everyone's podcasts, they kind of have a focus that comes really out of our interests and our personalities and that kind of thing. So obviously, you know, your name, Game Store Profits.
Yeah.
Your kind of thrust is with the gaming and stuff. So what is it about gaming then? What is it about gaming that you're so enthusiastic about? What is it about gaming that just caused you to say, you know what, we're going to make it part of our title so that when people see our podcast, you know, they know there's going to be talk about gaming going on here. What is it?
Gaming has been a part of both of our lives for a really long time. In fact, both of us, both Luke and myself, will say that we were gamers before we were Christians. In fact, our logo, designed by the very talented Amy Irvin, is a D20, which is pretty much a standard for all things tabletop role playing. Gaming for me, I could spend the next hour and a half talking to you about why gaming is important to me, but I'll shorten that.
Yeah, we probably should do that.
Yeah, we probably should. I've often said, I've been quoted on our show and in interviews and in other stuff as saying that there really is no fellowship like that which is forged over the gaming table. For example, I've been playing with the guys I play D&D with now for, I want to say, 4 or 5 years. And it's the same guys. And once a month, I mean, every once in a while we have a hiccup now and then, but once a month we get together to play Dungeons and Dragons. And these guys are family. That's just the long and the short of it. We've destroyed evil together, and that has really kind of bound us. We all come from completely different places. We're all, you know, in a lot of ways we're the same, but in a lot of ways we're really different too. But at the same point, we all come together over D&D, and I've seen that pretty much universal. I've seen it cross generations. I've seen it cross economic, you know, places. I've seen literally every type of person gathered together with every other type of person over the gaming table. And it really is a beautiful thing to watch. You pretty much become instant friends with these people. Even if you're trying to beat the tar out of them in whatever game you're playing, you know, you automatically start tearing down certain walls that you have with yourself because you're getting into the game and it's a thing. And yeah, it's something that we've seen time and time again. It's this idea that when you play games together, you are enjoying each other's company, you are in the same place in the same time, you are all focused on the same goal. And no matter if that goal might be something silly like getting your piece around the board, there's a connection that gets made there, and that has far-reaching implications way outside the gaming table, but it all starts there.
It's interesting. I wonder, you're talking about the connections at the gaming table, but I'm wondering if just how much of it is just the table itself. Because think about the things you do at tables are fellowship things.
Right.
You know, I mean, you eat together and you're forced to be with each other and face each other and mm-hmm. communicate with each other. I guess I'm going to ask you this then. You know, I used to game when I was in high school and junior high and some in college, and even a little bit after college, but that was just because I liked gaming, but I didn't have people I could do the gaming with. You know, I'd play Battletech. Loved playing Battletech.
Battletech.
And Starfleet Battles. And,
oh, wow. Yeah. I never got into Starfleet Battles, but I've seen, you know, how epic they can be.
The only reason we were into Starfleet Battles was because of Star Trek and just the tie there. We were willing to learn all those rules.
Horrible ship combat rules.
Oh, man. You know, we played all night, just eating Doritos mm-hmm. and drinking Mountain Dew. And
those are the staples of the gaming
table. Yeah. We also did Marvel Super Heroes role playing and Star Wars role playing and those kind of things. Now, we're still friends. You know, those ties that we created in high school, we're still friends. But like I said, you know, some of those games, Starfleet Battles had 3 volumes of rules that it got my son is so interested in Starfleet Battles because he saw the grid with the ship where you mark off, you know, your damage and stuff like that.
There are way better games to get into.
And then I said, dude, Tim, this is the rule book. Oh.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of pick up the new the Attack Wing game. That's
yeah, so this is my question.
Simpler.
Yeah. So what should we be looking at? We did get Catan. Say that. My daughters love that. My son loves that. And I enjoy that. And so we've actually had a lot of fun with that. And I'll tell you one reason why we picked that up. My buddies from high school, and we got together for the last 2 Star Trek movies. We got together for weekends and we gamed, and Catan was one of them. And your show, you talk about it so much. And I saw it at, I think
it's
it was
kind of
Target.
Hard not to talk about Catan at least some point when you're talking about games, because it was, I can't say that it was the first, because there have been games coming from ever, but the big push for what board gaming could be like, the games coming out of Germany for the longest time, Catan was one of the big ones that was the push to said, huh, there's more to board games than Roll and Move.
Yeah. Well, so what else would you say would be a good entry level or if not entry level, worthwhile as far as like learning, like Starfleet Battles, not worth the time to learn. So my son and I can play it twice, you know.
It a lot of it depends on what kind of game you're looking for. So I'm already going to preface this by saying it really depends on what you're looking for, because what one person is going to thoroughly enjoy, another person is going to find incredibly boring. But I do promise you that there is something. And if you go, our advice is always go to your friendly local gaming store. Your FLGS is the best place to go, because they can tell you that they can ask the questions that will help you find the game. However, ones that I think are really simple to pick up and yet have the most broad appeal, I would definitely pick up a game called Carcassonne. It's a game that's been around for ages. It is one of the simplest games to play, but at the same point can be a pretty, you know, for those of you who want to get more in depth in a game, there is a level of strategy that goes to that next level. So you're not going to be bored with it. At its core, it's laying down tiles to build roads and fields and castles. And all the while you're getting points for the number of roads and fields and castles you build. All the while, the other players are going to jump in and try and steal what you're trying to build, take the points away from you, that sort of thing. That game is fantastic. Another game I would pick up would be Forbidden Island, partly because of the price tag. I think it sells for like $15 now, and I will always say that a game that's cheap is a lot easier to experiment with than an $80 board game.
Yeah.
Forbidden Island, I refer to as my first pandemic, which if you are more hardcore, you can jump this one up to pick up the game Pandemic. But Forbidden Island is really simple. It's easy to set up. It's like Catan. It's never going to be set up the same way twice. You are basically building an island. And the goal of the people playing in this, this is a cooperative game. The goal of everyone that's playing is to steal all the treasures from the island and get off the island with them before the island sinks. You see, the island does not want you to take its stuff. So the island is sinking under the water, and so you have to very quickly learn to work together, get everybody the get the cards you need, get the stuff you need, and then get everybody off before the island sinks. And depending on it, it can be played at different levels, but depending on what level you play, it's sometimes the island wins. And sometimes it wins a lot. Likewise, Pandemic is very similar, but it's a lot more hardcore. You are basically working as a global team trying to solve all these horrible diseases, trying to cure them. All the while, outbreaks are happening left, right, and sideways. You are trying to set up you start out with one base at the CDC in Atlanta, but by the time you're done, you're building all these other places, setting up shop to try and learn more about the disease to cure them. And all the while, there's like 15 ways to lose and only one to win. And so I will say from experience, I have played a lot of Pandemic on even the easiest levels, and I can count the number of times I've won Pandemic on one hand. It is a challenging, challenging game, but you will have so much fun losing it.
Okay, yeah, that's key. I mean,
no,
I don't mind losing, but I don't like losing when it's not fun. So
no, it's so much fun. The only thing that's going to be frustrating, like the last time I played, I was playing with a bunch of people who'd never played Pandemic before, and we were playing it. And there's one of the ways you can lose is if you run out of the cards before you've cured the diseases, and I pick up the last card. And just I look at my fellow players and I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And they're all like, what? What happened? What's going on? And I go, guys, this is the last card. We lost. Oh, my goodness. The table exploded. What do you mean? This is really... And at first you think, oh, this is going to be awful. These guys are going to hate this game. But every one of them is like, let's play again. We're getting them this time.
Nice.
There's so much stuff out there. It's really hard to nail down the greatest games ever. There's always the classics. There's been a recent resurgence of all things Magic the Gathering, which is a game that I will warn you will, if you don't put a cap on yourself, will take a lot of your money. I would be in a much better place right now if I never played Magic. But at the same point, they've done a lot of good stuff now where you can buy like a deck of cards or two decks of cards so that you and your buddy can play without having to spend $400 on getting cards. And it's a real simple game. But yeah, I could go on.
Yeah, I played the Christian version. Redemption. Yeah, yeah. I still have my box of Redemption cards that my wife is like, why did you buy that? What, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
I have mixed feelings, but I haven't really played it all that much, and so I'm...
I don't have mixed feelings. I actually do not like that game. and the reason why is because you play the part of both the protagonist for yourself and the antagonist for your opponent.
Oh.
And I don't like that, you know, in a Christian game, you have a player who's trying to... do evil things to defeat good.
I don't really like Christian games at all. This is a guy who's... I have a core book for the game Testament, which is a biblically based, a very loosely biblically based role playing system, which is hilarious. Nothing says good times like being the Egyptian magician. but I had to own it. It was like a dollar on Amazon, and it's deliciously awful.
Go ahead.
Christian games are, I think the best, I don't know, discussion I've seen is from a bunch of gamers who do a podcast, like a legendary role-playing podcast called Fear the Boot. And at one point he started saying, you really can't put God into this because it's not really a game at this point. The Christian God, he wins. You don't, you know, what happens if you fail your role? What does that say? You know what? I don't, it's not a game at that point. And I'm like, good point. Good point.
I'll say this though. My book Armor Quest came out of trying to develop a Christian game. The idea being it would be a deck game. And as you're kind of going around the board to defeat dragons, you're drawing cards, and eventually you'll draw an armor card that you use to level up. And once you get the full armor, you're going to have the full level, and then you're able to, as a cooperative game, you're able to go after the dragon in the center of the board. Nothing ever came of that game. Some rules, very, very loose rules, were brought up, but I ended up developing it as a comic book instead of as a...
I think you made the right choice.
The other thing, maybe you know this, I don't know. When I was in junior high, I went to a Christian bookstore, and they had a role-playing game that had a picture of a lion on the front and some, you know, guys in medieval armor and that kind of thing. I wanted to buy it so bad. And my parents were like, well, it says for 3 players and up, and who are you going to play it with? And at that point in time in junior high, I had no friends, because we moved around so much. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, I won't be able to find, you know, an extra 2 players to, and it was a boxed game. So I don't know how much it cost, but it was a Christian role-playing game, a medieval-based Christian role-playing game. I've always wanted to find that thing.
If anybody knows of a good one, I'm totally willing to try it. But as of right now, the only one I've played is Testament. And yeah.
Well, Redemption is not going to redeem that right. anytime soon right. for you. So
yeah, I prefer Tolkien over Lewis in the world of gaming and pretty much most things. I always love it. C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, I've read a lot of letters that they wrote back and forth to each other. And Tolkien hated Lewis's writing because he would always just blast him saying, all you're doing is telling a story that's already been told and changing the characters. Because it's not writing, that's stealing.
You're the guest, so I'll let you say that. But I'll let you prefer Tolkien today.
Okay, so, yeah. I'll take it. Don't get me wrong. I love C.S. Lewis. Heck, my wife and I are reading The Great Divorce together. So irony. But
which, by the way, is one of my favorite books of his.
It's fantastic.
And that's the one that I would love to see as a movie. And
that would get destroyed as a movie.
Oh, no. It could be so incredible. It's a visual metaphor. Everything is so visual.
Could be. That's a key word.
Wow. I actually tried to get the rights to that.
Transformers could be good movies.
Yeah, I tried to see about getting the rights to that as a graphic novel, and the Lewis estate was like, no. Just no.
Just no.
Okay, so here's a question for you then. Have you and Luke gamed together much?
Together?
Yeah. I mean, these are the two hosts for Game Store Profits. Have you gamed together much?
Being on opposite sides of things, it's really hard. There have been some talk about doing, because there are so many tools to do online versions of tabletop role playing, like over Skype. And yeah. There's the really nice one that I like is called Roll20. And it's really nice. It's really easy to set up the maps, and it comes with a built-in, almost Skype-like feature, and it's really simple. And you get Google Hangouts. These are all things that, you know, we're gonna try and get that stuff going. But it's mostly about timing at this point. The technology's there. It's just the you know, 3-hour time difference and him having the kids and my wife occasionally wanting to spend time with me and these things that make it so it's really difficult. For a while there, we were playing as a podcast, we were playing Knights of the Old Republic, Star Wars MMO. So we were playing that online for a little bit, and that was fun. But other than that, we haven't had a chance. It's really one of the sad things in my life right now.
That is sad.
I want him to run a BattleTech game. I want to run I'm probably going to try and run – I don't know. I have so many new systems now that I want to run constantly. So I'm sure it's going to be something that we make available in the future. But as of right now, we haven't, which is awful.
I find that interesting then. I mean, you guys have bonded over gaming without actually gaming.
Without actually gaming together, yeah.
Because I think you said when you were at Bible school then or seminary or yes. whatever, you knew all of each other maybe, but
you... Yeah, we didn't really know each other well at all.
Interesting. That's really... I mean, that's the power of gaming then right there.
Yeah.
Able to bond without even doing it. Just osmosis.
We started talking about, you know, BattleTech and the old wargaming because he used to be more into wargaming. And I never got into it because I had enough things that were eating away my wallet, let alone constantly buying miniatures.
Does he paint them? Or did he paint them?
Of course he paints them. Oh, he paints them.
That I cannot imagine having the patience or the skill.
He doesn't paint them as readily as he used to, but he does still paint them.
Oh. Yeah, that takes a special kind of person who can.
Yeah. Who can there are several things that my wife made me compromise when we got married. She knew she was marrying a gamer. She knew she was marrying a gamer who wasn't going to give up gaming. So she laid down some ground rules, and one of them was I shall not buy miniatures and paint them. the other one was no LARPing, and so I've been good so far.
All right. Well, what are you excited about right now then? As far as just the gaming landscape, or even personally, it doesn't have to be gaming. But what are you excited about right now? What's going on out there?
One of the things that I'm really excited about is for role playing. There's a new system that just came out. It's been through Kickstarter, and so I only have part of it so far. They're working on it. One of the absolute giants in role-playing, a guy by the name of Monty Cook, created a new role-playing system called Numenera. And this game looks really, really simple to get into. Like, character creation is literally you fill in the blanks on a statement is, I am a blank, blank who blanks.
And it's like Mad Libs.
You fill in those blanks and you have your character. And it's really interesting the way they handle experience. And it's one of the more interesting scenarios that I've seen because the whole plot line is that this is Earth billions of years in the future. It's called the Ninth World. And what happens is that we are the First World. We rise and fall. Another world comes up after us. Another civilization rises up after us. It rises and falls. This happens, and this game happens in the Ninth World. And so I'm very intrigued by this. This is the first science fiction setting that I'm really jazzed about. But I'm very excited about the possibilities of it. It seems simple and light enough that people who aren't really gamers can get into it. But the character freedom... And the freedom to choose, you know, my biggest selling point for role-playing games is the ability to create stuff on the fly and the ability to literally just do anything. Like, there is no option that isn't available. And this game really has a lot of cool stuff. And as a guy who's probably going to be running the game, there's stuff that I can slide a card across the table and say, I'll give you this if you push that red button over there. But I don't want to push the red button. It's going to do something bad. And so I just look at them again and go, I'll give you this if you push the red button.
So you say that's a Kickstarter thing, and you've got bits and pieces of it. How's that working for you then?
I've got the core book. They got the core book out in time for Gen Con. There's other stuff coming out, like the bestiary and things like that. There's basically I have what I need to play it. The other stuff, as is with all role-playing systems ever, there's other stuff that helps you play. Like it gives you more information, it gives you more setting, it gives you more stuff to throw into the world, but it's not required. So at some point I'm going to be playing this. I don't know if it's going to be before the end of the year or not, but I'm definitely looking forward to it because it looks really, really fun.
Yeah, sounds cool.
I'm also at some point I want to pick up the game Android Netrunner. That's for most people, that's not something to look forward to because they've been playing it since last year. I, however, was really slow to the party on that one, but it looks like a lot of fun. It's a card game. It's what's referred to as a living card game, whereas Magic is a collectible card game where you can spend $400 to get that one card. Ugh. Living card games basically say, all right, you buy this $10 pack of cards. This is literally every card. This is every card in this set. So you don't have to worry about, you know, spending all this money to find that one card. We promise you it's in this set. So that takes a lot of what I disliked about Magic and keeps a lot of the aspects that I did like. But one of the other things that I like about it is that it's asymmetrical. It's not like you're both potentially the same. One person plays what are called runners, and they are trying to hack the system, as it were, to try and steal the agendas from the corporations. The other player is playing the corporations. So while the runners are getting all their gear and all their software and all the stuff they need to get into the system, the corporations are putting the agendas out there. They're creating servers, and they are putting up basically firewalls called ICE to stop runners from getting them. And yeah, it just looks like a ton of fun. I have not been able to pick it up yet, but I'm definitely looking forward to that. That's probably the next on my buy list.
Okay, cool. Well, one big reason why we're bringing you on the show here today for Strangers and Aliens is because of something else you're very excited about. And this is something that I wanted our listeners to get a chance to hear about and to, one way or another, help you out and kind of support you with this because it's for a very worthy and valid cause. So you want to go ahead and explain this this 25-hour gaming game-a-thon kind of thing that you're currently raising support for.
So a number of years ago, a couple of guys got together, and I don't know if they were an organization when they started or if they created the organization because of the success of this event, but they decided that they were going to raise money for local children's hospitals by gaming and getting people to support them, much like when you do walkathons and stuff like that, mm-hmm. where like for every mile you walk, I'll give you $2, I'll give you a dollar. They decided that they could use what they love, which was video games, to do the same thing. So for every so many hours of playing video games, you'll get so much money for the children's hospital. Well, I immediately thought about this is a great idea. It's a fantastic idea, and I wanted to get a part of it. But I don't know, 25 hours of video games is going to be rough on a guy's eyes. I'm not as young as I used to be. So I looked into it, and it says on their website – their website is extra-life.org. Extra Life, they're like any kind of gaming works. Role-playing, board game, card game, video game, LARPing. And if you name it, you can play it. If you do it for 25 hours, you can be a part of Extra Life. And so I signed up right then. I actually created a team called Team Game Store Profits East. And we will be playing board games and card games for 25 hours, because it'll happen on November 2nd, which is daylight savings time.
Ah.
So we will be playing for 25 hours. My team will be exhausted, but we will be raising money for the Children's Specialized Hospital of New Brunswick, New Jersey. And we will be doing it by playing games all day long. We will start at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and stop 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
So, 25 hours. Nice.
I can already imagine the ridiculousness that will be happening at like 3 a.m.
Oh. I can't imagine what happens with gaming there. I mean, I've done the youth lock-ins as a youth and as a youth leader. And yeah, oh, those are the hours, man.
I've done them too, and it's always interesting when you what the kind of stuff that sees the light of day at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, actually, that's how I first saw Godzilla.
Nice.
Overnight youth event.
Nice. Wait. The Matthew Broderick movie? Or
No. The original. Raymond Burr. Okay. So not the original. The Raymond Burr version of the original.
Okay, no. As long as there's still a man in a rubber suit, I'm okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the first one, and oh, my goodness. I mean, we're talking maybe 24 teenagers from the Midwest, you know. We're at a church in the middle of a cornfield watching Godzilla and just about to pee ourselves.
That's fantastic.
And since that day, well, no, my dad got me hooked on Godzilla with King Kong versus Godzilla the year before. But
of course, that's genius.
And I did the same to my son. So
it's important to train up a child.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that's what we're doing. I've got a couple of people who signed up for my team. I pretty much set this up and said, you know, God's going to do what God's going to do. I had no real plan. I've got a couple of people signed up to be on the team. A couple of people I'm harassing to be on my team because they keep saying they want to be on it, but they refuse to sign up. But we're probably going to have like 5 or 6 people, if not a couple more. And we're all going to be raising money for this hospital. And I'm super excited about it. We're actually also looking for because I named it after the podcast, and because gaming for a good cause, we always say that there's more to gaming than just distraction, and this is right in our wheelhouse. So Luke and I have been advertising it, saying that if people want to create their own local game store profits teams, we're gonna put it up on our Facebook page, all the money that game store profits related teams have raised. And basically all we ask is that, one, you put either Game Store Profits or GSP somewhere in your team name, and you email us at gamestoreprofits@gmail.com so that we know to put it on our Facebook page. Right. But I really think that this is something I'm looking forward to doing this years and years and years from now, because I think it's really a valuable thing. I don't know. Like most things you do for the first time, I think this is going to be the slow buildup. I don't know how many teams we're going to get. Mine might be the only one, but I really think that as years grow, this could be something huge. And I'm really glad that GSP is being a part of it.
Yeah, it sounds. I mean, it does sound just right up your alley. Where it's hitting the sweet spot: gaming and kids. And help. And
it's if there was a Venn diagram, this would be right in the middle of it.
Okay, so in those 25 hours then, what are you planning to do? I mean, how are you planning to spend this time?
I have 40 to 50 board games and card games at my disposal. A lot of the people that I'm getting to be interested in this event are the kind of people I've gamed with before. Most of them are either actively part of gaming groups that I'm in or passively, as in they'll show up every now and then. Mm-hmm. So I have a funny feeling that I'm going to see – let's see. What games am I probably going to see a lot of? I am probably going to see a lot of the game Ascension, because I just bought that and a lot of my friends really enjoy it. There's probably going to be a decent amount of Pandemic. There's probably going to be, if I get my hands on Android Netrunner, I will probably have that played, because I'll probably want to play it a lot. I have a ton of really varied games, and I think a good portion of them will be played. I tend not to pick up games that are truly epic, because there are some games you can buy out there, like Twilight Imperium, and all these games are like how long does this game take to play? 8 hours? No, thank you. but I think we're gonna see a lot of smaller games that get played a lot, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that 8 hour game makes me think of Kramer walking around with a Risk board.
I was half tempted. There's a game out right now called Risk Legacy. And what Risk Legacy is it's Risk, but it's with a persistent board. And it's not like old school Risk where you just either, take South America or Australia and run the board. There's stuff that happens left, right, and center. You can drop nuclear bombs. You can. Jeez. And here's the thing. What happens persists to future games. If you drop an atomic bomb on let's say, Eastern Europe, there will still be fallout and a giant crater when you play your next game. Likewise, whoever wins, like the joy of being able to win is being able to build your own city. And so you will build a city and put your name on the board, the name of your city on the board.
That's fun.
And I was really tempted, and I've got a month left, so I might still do it. But I was tempted to get a Risk Legacy board specifically for the event, but we'll see if that happens.
Right. Excellent. So it sounds like fun. It sounds like it's going to be tiring. And you're going to be slap happy by the time you're done, but slap happy for a good cause. Right?
It'll be super fun because I plan on getting out of this event and then going to church.
Hey, I did that once. You ever heard the 24-hour comic?
Yes.
Okay. I've done that 3 times. And the first time I did it, I went straight from there to teach Sunday school. And
you weren't just attending church. You were teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure your students had a lot of fun with you on that day.
Oh, they, it was a little insane. So the next time I got a substitute, it was just not happening. But yeah, but I had to stay awake because I was standing on the stage. Mm-hmm. You are going to have a different story where you will be.
Oh, I have a funny feeling my wife would be nudging me through the service.
Yeah.
And then continuing to explain to me why this was a stupid idea.
All right. Well, what's the website for that? For yours or for the what is it? Extra Life?
Extra Life. Extra-life.org.
Okay. Your team?
I could give you the link or everything, but whatever. The easiest way is to go on that website and either look up myself, Mike Perna. As far as I know, as of now, I'm the only Mike Perna on the site. Also, you can look up my team. It's Team Game Store Profits East.
Okay. And so people can go there, and that's where they can make like a pledge?
Yes, absolutely. You can – if you go to my page, you can just – there's a little button that says support this player. Or you can go to our team page, and it literally lists everybody that signed up to be a member of my team, and you can make donations to them. Everything's done online. It's all tax deductible. One of the reasons I got into doing it with Extra Life is because it's so simple. Everything is done online. Everything, you don't have to worry about sending anything to anywhere. And they work through the Children's Miracle Network, which is a really well-known and established charity. So I know because of that the money's going to these churches. So,
right. Yeah.
Not churches, these hospitals. So I'm very excited about that.
Okay. So we won't know. I mean, right now when the episode goes out, it's going to be different anyway. You've got a goal that you're working toward, right?
I have a personal goal of $200 to raise and a team goal of $1,000 to raise.
So, strangers and aliens out there, if you could, you said you could do a lump sum, but you could also do like an hourly.
Yeah, thing. It goes either way. You can do one just, hey, I've got $5. You can do that way. Or you can be like, for every hour you're playing, I'll give you $1.
So we're recording October 2nd, 2013. And the event itself will be...
It's literally a month from now. It's November 2nd.
Okay, November 2nd, 2013. So all you future listeners who are listening after November 2nd, you can help them out again next year.
Yeah, this is going to happen again. So definitely look into this event. And like I said, whether you do it through GameStore Province or not, definitely look into getting a team. It costs nothing to do this. They provide you with materials, and like I said, they handle all the donations, and it's absolutely free. So it's definitely something to get into. And
let me ask you this then. Do you have to do the 25 hours?
They recommend it.
Okay.
But they say, hey, guys, we just want to raise money for children's hospitals.
Okay.
So however you want to do that, that's okay.
Okay, well, I think that that's going to wrap this up. I have written down one more thing. I get you and Luke mixed up as far as who is where.
It happens a lot.
And, well, I can never remember which one's on the East Coast, which one's on the West Coast. So here's another one where I can't remember which one of you. Are you the Lovecraft reader?
I'm the Lovecraft reader.
Okay, yes. So you're not the one who's afraid of Lovecraft.
No, Luke is the one who's a scared little girl who's afraid of Lovecraft. Okay. Yes.
Do you know what I purchased yesterday?
Cthulhu Haunts His Dreams.
Yeah.
No, what did you purchase?
I purchased the Complete Works yesterday at Barnes & Noble, one of those
bargain
editions.
I have one of those. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, it's like a Bible.
Yep, it's gorgeous.
It looks like a Bible. I've read some of his works. I actually adapted one of his stories for... into a comic book for Graphic Classics. And here I'm like, I've got to start really diving into this. I listened to a whole bunch of audio versions of it over the years.
The old radio ones are so good.
I'm looking for the really good ones because the ones I've listened to have been, the story has been really good.
Well, yeah,
but
like
the,
everything.
The reader, not as much, but yeah, I'm like, okay, I want to really check this out and see what is it that's caused this to last. And
no, I have loved the Cthulhu mythos for a long, long time, mostly because I love the fact that, you know, anybody can do jump scares. Even in literature, you can do jump scares. You know, a guy reaches out for a door handle and, there's a ghost. Like, I mean, everybody can do jump scares. Reading Lovecraft makes you stare into the abyss of mystery, of nothingness and everythingness all at the same time. And it's hard to read because Lovecraft does not give you hope.
Yeah, that's one thing I have picked up.
Yeah, Lovecraft is not about giving you hope, but, you know, it's one of those things where I can't – like we did an episode not that long ago with my buddy Chris and I did a whole episode of why we love the Cthulhu mythos. And it's just that he has a way of writing that he can describe nothing. He can say – he can literally have – because most of his stuff is written in the first person.
Right.
And he can tell you like I cannot understand the thing that stands in front of me with – you know, all mouths and teeth and fear. And you're just like, I don't know what that is. What the heck is he looking at? He can't even describe what he's looking at. What the heck is this thing? And like, it's genius.
Okay. So if we ever do a Lovecraft episode, would you be game to come on?
Sign me up.
All right. Cause I want to do something about that. And I've dabbled, but now I want to kind of dive in. So.
I don't know if it's going to be how big of a thing it's going to be, but my buddy and I have been toying with the idea of doing. I think it'll be probably in podcast form. Just the idea of a post Ancient Old Ones apocalypse radio show. Just as people who are wandering, trying to live in the aftermath of a Cthulhu-esque. Invasion of otherworldly things.
It's like a sequel to Cabin in the Woods?
Kind of, but not nearly as genius as Cabin in the Woods.
All right, so I think that that's everything then. So where can we find you online? You've talked about the extra-life.org.
Yep, we have that one. Our website is GameStoreProfits.com. We're also on Facebook, Facebook.com/GameStoreProfits. You can join what I refer to as the best community of geeks on the internet. However, we have no statistical data to back this up. I think we're awesome. I'm only half flippant about that. The stuff that we get on the Facebook page that our listeners are posting, the messages that we get, so awesome. I at some point I probably wanted to change it into a group instead of a page because I'd love to hear more from our listeners. But yeah, definitely Facebook.com/GameStoreProfits. We're on Twitter at GSProfits. We're taking emails at GameStoreProfits@gmail.com. And I think that covers everything. It covers all the good stuff anyway.
Yeah. Anything else that's out there will probably – go to GameStoreProfits.com or something like that. There'll be links eventually.
Oh, there'll be links. In fact, yeah. If you want to just go to GameStoreProfits, there's a link that I have. There's a little – one of those old school thermometers. We've raised this much money.
Oh, nice.
You can just click on that to get to Extra Life and to our team's page.
Excellent. Oh, there it is. Make a donation. Okay. So, yeah, that'll be the easiest place to get people there, hey?
Yeah, that's the easiest place. Right. It'll get right to our team page.
All right, GameStoreProfits.com is the website. I also recommend Strangers and Aliens. Listen to GameStoreProfits, the podcast. Like I've said, I have gamed in the past, but I'm not a current gamer. But I get a lot out of the podcast. It's partially I'm able to kind of keep tabs on. Okay, this BioShock Infinite, what is this? You know.
I think we did 2 or 3 episodes on BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
That was a reoccurring theme because that was just like a softball to us. That was like, oh, so it's a game and there's religious imagery everywhere. All right, let's go.
And then the other thing is with the podcast is it's a very casual, conversational, and topical podcast, but then they also have a nice way of turning a topic and being able to kind of pull out not the spiritual application, but just some of the spiritual ideas that are behind what you're talking about. And that's something I've really appreciated about what you guys have done. It's a big reason why I've keep going back. And it's also a reason why I'm like, you know what? I want people to know about this thing.
We believe strongly that if God really is sovereign over everything, you can find him everywhere. And this is especially true in the things that we're really passionate about, the things that we love. And, you know, we love God. We love serving him and serving his people. And that doesn't get turned off when we play games. So it usually ends up, you know, the things that we think about, the God that we serve, he shows up in our games too.
Yeah, and you were saying how, you know, Christian games usually aren't that good, except I would argue that anytime you run, Mike, a D&D game, you're running a Christian game, you know, because it's coming from you, you know.
I've had lots of conversations with angry parents terrified that I'm going to lead their children into Satan worship because I'm playing D&D with them. And the recurring theme that I respond to these people with is, one, I love Jesus. I'm not going to do that. And two, a lot of these times these kids are in my youth group and I'm still their youth leader. I'm not going to do anything that's going to take them away from God. In fact, I think spending 6 hours with them on a Saturday and hanging out and getting to know them better and encouraging them to be creative and doing all this stuff, I think that actually speaks volumes to what God would have us do. You know, the God whose image we are created in, the creator God who made all things. I think that's kind of closer to his heart than a lot of people give him credit for.
Well, he is the storyteller.
Absolutely.
You know, and the creator. I mean, that's part of our theme song at the beginning is, well, it's not part of the song, it's dialogue, but you know
right.
What I mean? Yeah, he's a storyteller, he's a creator, and when you're, especially with role-playing, it's story.
Oh yeah. In fact, I'm recruiting a buddy of mine to be involved with Numenera because at some point I want him to run, because there's a guy that I want to play because of the fact that this is Earth in the far, far distant future. And most of what you're playing are guys looking for these things called Numenera, which is old technology. I want him to find probably a very technologically advanced Bible. And I want him to literally be the voice in the technological wilderness, you know, in a world that has forgotten who God is. I want him to be the one voice that cries out. And yeah, I want to play that guy so hard.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike, for spending the time to come on Strangers and Aliens. And
oh, I'm glad you had me on.
Bring your Game Store Profits flavor over here for a little bit. We hardly ever talk any gaming, except for fantasy football recently, but I don't know if that really counts.
Fantasy football is D&D for jocks.
I've said that before, and I have been told that I am so wrong.
No, but you're so right. So right.
Along with that is, I would like to see actual fantasy football. I would like to see
Blood
orcs.
Bowl. What? It exists. Blood Bowl.
Okay, Blood Bowl.
There's a game. You can find it both in tabletop, in a card game. They're coming out with a card game. No, they do have a card game version, and there's a computer game for it as well.
Nice. Blood Bowl. All right.
I have often led my dwarves to victory in that game.
Nice. See, that's all I want. That's all I want. So do you have any last words, any parting thoughts before we shut this down?
We have a shtick that we put at the end of our thing. It was literally something that we said off the cuff. We did not plan for this, but it's the thing that kind of came out through our first episode. We threw D&D right out there at the beginning, figured we were either going to make an audience or destroy our chances of ever having an audience by talking about Dungeons and Dragons in a Christian podcast. And we started saying that, you know, God is the game master, and no matter how the dice falls, the game plays on. And it's just as applicable to your audience as it is to ours.
It is. And it's a little more profound than our sign off. So, so with that said,
I'm not saying anything.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
And thanks for listening, everyone. And if you want to contact us, you can contact us through all the things we say over the music in the next couple of seconds. But definitely go to GameStoreProfits.com. And until next time, everyone, Godspeed. You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast, hosted by Ben Avery, Steve MacDonald, and Dr. Jace O'Neill. Our music was composed and mixed by Tim Leffel. Please join in the conversation by visiting our website, strangersandaliens.com, where you'll find show notes, articles, reviews, and more. You can also email us directly at podcast@strangersandaliens.com, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/strangers, or you can leave us a voicemail on the Strangers and Aliens hotline. Just call 1-804-37-ALIEN and leave your message. And once again, thanks for listening.
This podcast is part of the Christian Geek Central Network. For more great content and community, visit ChristianGeekCentral.com.